Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 17th of December. The streets of Old Milwaukee at the Milwaukee Public Museum first opened in January of 1965, and it has been reimagined, and it reopened just last week. Scotty and KP and I had a great time there yesterday. We even bought some candy from 1910. It was good. It's an enormously popular exhibit. I don't need to tell you that. It's huge in the state of Wisconsin, and it takes visitors back to Milwaukee in about 1915. The changes that have taken place make you feel even more a part of Milwaukee because you can smell Milwaukee and you can hear what people are saying in the streets of Milwaukee. It's a streetcar at the beginning of the exhibit, which takes you back in time miraculously. I don't know how they do this technology, but it's terrific. Sensory layers to the exhibit, an app where you can have your choice of characters who will take you through the streets. So we're going to be talking about the streets of Old Milwaukee and its reimagination this hour of the program. We have two guests with us in our studio here in downtown Milwaukee. Al Muchka is curator of history collections, and he has been a staff member of the history department since 1991. He holds a Master of Arts degree in American history, public history, and also earned additional certifications in museum studies and nonprofit organization management. We took him off his vacation to come here today. Thank you, Al. It was nice.
Well, you're very welcome.
Yeah, and we just so enjoyed the exhibit. It'll be fun to talk about it. Julian Jackson is also here. Julian is the director of exhibits and design for the Milwaukee Public Museum, and he's been with the museum for just over a year, so he was hired to reimagine the streets of Old Milwaukee. He oversees the graphic design and exhibits department, and he has been leading the team that has reimagined quite successfully the streets of Old Milwaukee. He was the director of experience design at one of my favorite places in Chicago, the Adler Planetarium, where he led the design for the Welcome Gallery, our solar system, and he did many other projects. And we thank you so much, Julian, and thanks for being our tour guide yesterday.
Thanks for having us.
You did a fine job. So this opened in 1965. And people love this exhibit. There was a little bit of trepidation about doing anything to the streets of Old Milwaukee, I'm sure. So why did you decide to do it?
Well, mainly the streets of Old Milwaukee was coming up on 50 years old, and most museum exhibits last 10 or 15 years. So with 50 years behind it, our museum exhibit, the streets of Old Milwaukee, had just this incredible background. And I think what really people wanted to do, and what my predecessors wanted to do back in the 1940s and 1950s, was really create this immersive world that commemorated the place and world of their parents, the early 1900s, late 1890s into the 1900s. They felt that by the 1940s, post-World War II, that most of that kind of lifestyle was starting to fade and just kind of go away. So they decided then to create this era that commemorated their parents, but also commemorated Milwaukee at what they felt was its height to that point. And that's kind of how the streets of Old Milwaukee came around.
And was it cutting edge, Al, in 65?
Oh, absolutely. The whole idea of an immersive exhibit. Most museums at the time would have galleries full of cases, and there'd be taxonomic layers and layers of objects and or animals or whatever it might be. And it's wonderful for the collector to come up and just look at this one piece and study it in detail in a case. But what they decided to do here was really create this immersive situation. And that goes back to the 1890s with the Milwaukee Public Museum. Carl Akeley was America's exhibit designer, and he really got his career going here in Milwaukee at the Milwaukee Public Museum. He created the first diorama. It's a little muskrat, and we still have that in our lobby. And it's just this wonderful, wonderful idea that you're going to see have a life scene, and that it gives you the context of the objects and the context of the people and or animals that that really kind of come into this life scene. So it grew out of that idea from the 1890s, was hit very hard in the 1930s by actually a couple of politicians in the area that were very interested in the museum and its collections. And that was Fred Heath, he was a county supervisor, and then Carl Dietz, who was a city alderman and namesake of one of our major collections at the museum, the Dietz Typewriter and Business Machine Collection.
I had no idea the museum was as old as it is. 18 what?
The museum was established about 1882, goodness, chartered in 84, but it really goes back to the 1850s with the German English Academy. The initial collections were part of what the German community at the time felt was important for their children to see and learn about as part of their daily education. And the museum grew out of that whole concept from the 1850s onward and really became a solid museum in the
1880s. Interesting. A very progressive city for many years.
Very much.
The past has informed who we are today. So, Julian, you were hired, and this must have filled you with a little bit of anxiety to reinvent the streets of old Milwaukee. You saw it as a kid, you were telling us. You'd seen it.
I did. I came through when I was a child. I grew up in Chicago and visited Milwaukee. I visited the Milwaukee Public Museum and have very distinct memories of being immersed in that environment. And so when I had the opportunity to apply for the job, they didn't exactly reassure me about the task ahead. Dr. Ellen Sinsky was interviewing me, and she walked me into the middle of the streets and said, one of the projects we're thinking about doing next year is reimagining the streets of old Milwaukee. So I'd like you to take, you know, maybe 20 minutes and tell me what you would do with this space. And we'll bounce those ideas around and be part of your interview. And she turned to go, and then she hesitated, turned back to me, and then said, and you probably should know that this is the most popular exhibit in Milwaukee. And if you were to screw this up, you'd be driven out of town. So that was my introduction to the project.
Well, you succeeded. You passed the test. It really is enhanced. Mm-hmm. And from the students, there were a lot of students there yesterday, and it's just so delightful to see these young kids, fourth grade, third grade, running around, and not running, they were very well behaved, but walking through the streets and just say, oh, this is cool, this is cool. To see a generation get excited by a museum, nothing beats that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Those exclamations of, oh, awesome, or that's so
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing feeds the heart of an exhibit designer more than that, and probably you too, Al.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that's true, Al.
Well, one of the things that really pleases me about what you just talked about, acknowledge the idea that the kids were in there and learning and really amazed by the materials. That's really what we were striving to do. But we were striving to do that without making this wholesale change and turning the streets of old Milwaukee into this techie village, mm-hmm, with touchscreens and video panels and all kinds of things all over the place that really kind of would, we felt, disrupt the flow and the idea and the immersion into the street space. And that's something that Julian and the designers and our artists and myself, we all worked very hard to make sure that that kind of thing didn't interfere with people's enjoyment of the streets and the objects that they can learn from on exhibit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You've also paid tribute now to, which was very large then, and we've lost many of our major industries, but to Milwaukee's industrial past. That was in your mind as you were reinventing, right?
Yeah, as we talked about what we wanted to feature in the new section of the streets is expanded. We didn't take away very much. We mostly added. We wanted to include some of the more industrial character, including the Falk Steel Factory, the Northside Lumber and Fuel, which has now become the Blifert Lumber Yard, an example of a streetcar maintenance shed. Just a few examples of that industrial past were the new items that we had added.
And whoever came up with this idea, and I think it was you, Julian, of having a streetcar, I don't know how you do this technologically, but you start the exhibit with a streetcar and the panels along the side. You're riding the streetcar and you're seeing Milwaukee in 2015, almost 16, and then you're going back to 1915. It's really great.
That's right. That came out of a conversation that Al and I had very
Did
early
it?
On.
Yes. Nice.
I had written in my initial notes from that day when I was, you know, threatened with being driven out of town, that I thought that the exhibit should have some sort of magical way of getting there, of going back in time, kind of setting the stage, if you will. But I didn't know what it was. I had written some notes to that effect. And Al and I were talking about modes of transportation that were popular then. There was the transfer over from horse-drawn carriages to very early automobiles. And he mentioned the streetcar network. And that was sort of an aha moment. I was like, that's it. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a streetcar to the streets of old Milwaukee. And when we built it, it acts a little bit as a time tunnel. You enter the streetcar and you see the buildings going by you on the outside. And they're modern buildings on the windows that are closest to you. But as you walk through the streets and feel the rumble underneath the floor, the buildings are getting older. And the people's costumes and the vehicles on the street are aging even as they're passing you. So it's this sense of walking back in time until you exit the streetcar on the far end and you're at the turn of the century.
So when both of you are on that, is there a time where you would have liked to walk out of the streetcar and been in 1950s or 1915? Is there a part that looks appealing to you?
Well, for myself, I'm an old soul in a modern body, so the 1900 works very well for me. I'm actually very happy to get on in 2015, work my way through to 1900. It's an era that I've studied. It's an era that I've actually, in some ways, lived. My grandparents are the people that the streets of Old Milwaukee was built about. So the things that are in the streets of Old Milwaukee existed in my parents' and grandparents' home, and so many of the objects I know how to use. I know what they came from. I know the organizations that made them and used them. So it was kind of like going home for me. And I'm just very comfortable in the streets of Old Milwaukee.
I'm sure you are. And the objects are chosen with great care. Many of them were polished and are still part of what the old streets of Milwaukee were. But there are a lot of new items, aren't there?
Yes, we did add about 170 new items in addition to taking out several. Well, the idea that for the new items was that we were trying to associate them to the app and the characters and the themes that we're using in the app. So we'll have four themes. Our first one, obviously, is entertainment. So as an example, for entertainments, one of the things that I chose to replace in Granny's house was I got rid of some of the toys and dolls, and I put in an Amberola, which is an Edison wax machine, wax cylinder machine, plays music. It was invented in 1909, but it was one of the first internal horn machines. So it doesn't have that big flowery-like horn you see on the old Edison and Victrolas, that kind of thing. This was made to be compact, something that should be used in the home and kept in the home. So the idea of creating that, getting that object into that space so that we can use it as part of our interpretation through the app characters is exactly how we would use all of these newer objects.
I just wanted to say one other thing about these themes. In collaboration with Al, we really tried to create a innovative future for the streets of Old Milwaukee. A lot of the technology we used, a lot of the exhibit design techniques we used are made to change the theme periodically. So the streets of Old Milwaukee will change and you can have a new experience within that. As Al mentioned, we're going to start with entertainment. But over time, the headlines in the newspaper stand will change, the sounds that you hear in the stores and throughout the streets.
All those sounds are
all of those things are new, and they reinforce in subtle ways this theme. So you'll hear things that are associated with the theme in those locations. The films that are going to be playing in the newly opened Nickelodeon.
Charlie Chaplin was on the screen.
That's right, Charlie Chaplin, representing entertainment, will change over time. But we also wanted to tell a lot of different stories of the people from that time period. And that's where the app comes in.
So tell us about the app. What's the app?
So the app is built around these different themes. And the app is, I think, the only one that we know of in a museum right now that takes you on a guided tour of the streets in the voices of people from that time. But what makes it innovative is that it's using some modern tracking mechanism, Bluetooth tracking in the space. And so the characters know where you are in the environment. So they'll talk to you as you approach a particular building and say, oh, I see you're approaching my favorite saloon. This is what I do in the saloon. These are some of the items in the saloon. Why don't you come over with me and we'll visit the general store? But you don't have to press anything on your phone or anything when you get to the general store. It knows that you've now arrived. It says, oh, here we are. And that was really reinforcing the idea of making the technology recede and the experience that you have proceed. Hmm. We didn't want anything which sort of took you out of the experience if we could help it. And so any technology we put in really had to work kind of like magic, or right. as close to it as right. we could manage.
And you can choose one of, what, four characters or three characters to guide you? Three characters.
There are three characters for each theme. And for entertainment, what we tried to do and what I tried to do in my research and pulling together these character ideas was that I wanted to be able to give people a varied set of ideas and a varied experience. So I chose a young man who works hard but loves to go dancing on Saturday night. I chose an Irish-American young woman, probably around 30 years old, that has aspirations to become a vaudevillian. And then I chose a German-American socialite to talk about Milwaukee's high culture of the period. So you can go through the Milwaukee Public Museum Streets of Old Milwaukee based on the entertainment theme, but you get the viewpoint of each of these characters. And then we will be doing that with the other themes as they come up.
Oh, I love that. That's just a wonderfully creative idea.
And from a learning perspective, you know, we're creating this wonderful world around you with the tools of theater and exhibit design and even movie special effects. But we're trying to do all of this in the service of having people relax into the experience, mm-hmm. because it's when those moments when you're most deeply immersed in an experience that you're most open to learning new things. Mm-hmm. I just thought of this as it's kind of like immersive language learning, except we're teaching history. We're trying to have immersive history teaching.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. The sounds and the smells, there are smells too, really do bring you back more. There's a sense of, I don't know, what is it that you feel? I've seen Streets of Old Milwaukee many, many times. I've lived here a long time. But for the first time, I really felt as though, you know, I knew the guy who was working on the car. And you feel like you're more there.
Exactly. And that's part of the immersive idea that goes way back. But I think what we've done is we've refined it and used the technology to the best we can. Mm-hmm. The idea now that instead of just going through a quiet streets and maybe hearing the Merry Widow play on a Victrola in the background, that was nice for 1965 and probably pretty cutting edge, but now we have so much more capability and there's so much more to talk about as well. When you get into the sounds, you can hear a train in the distance, church bells in the distance, a rainstorm will pass you, and the way the speakers are set up, it's almost like a Doppler effect. You hear it coming at you and then it recedes from you. And when you get in front of some of the various small stores, shops, or the saloon or something like that, you can actually hear the conversations that are going on inside. So you may hear a little bit of German, a little Slovak. You may also hear them talking about street issues, the kinds of things that are going on in the tavern, the kind of things that are going on in the print shop, wherever there's a conversation going on.
Right.
So there's this depth that just really kind of keeps you grounded in the streets, not just, you know, not just your feet mm-hmm. on the sidewalk.
We're going to welcome phone calls for both our guests. The exhibit, the new streets or reimagined streets, just opened last week. I don't know how many of you have had a chance to get to the museum, but I know many of you have seen the Streets of Old Milwaukee because it's been probably the most popular exhibit at the Milwaukee Public Museum for 50 years, which is a pretty long time. So we're speaking this hour in our Milwaukee studios with Julian Jackson, who's the Director of Exhibits and Design for the Milwaukee Public Museum, and he has been leading the team reimagining the Streets of Old Milwaukee. Also joining us, he's been with the museum since 1991, is Al Muchka. He is the Curator of History Collections for the Milwaukee Public Museum, and as you heard him say, it's as though he's taking us back to a time when his family was in Milwaukee back in 1915 and before that time. So he has a deep appreciation of the city that was then and all of the objects that he has very carefully put on display. So we welcome your phone calls, okay? Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Streets of Old Milwaukee this hour, and you're calling in. You do love this place, so we're going to go to your phone calls, starting with Cheryl in Conover. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. It was very reminiscent to listen to the Streets of Milwaukee because I was there the day it opened at the museum in Milwaukee in 1965. And I took my two sons there in the late 80s and the early 90s. And if you remember, there was a gentleman by the name of Wallace McBrier, who was one of the curators at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and he was my next-door neighbor.
Oh. So was there a lot of hoopla when it opened in 65? Balloons
well, you know,
and everything?
I was 12, so I remember it opening. I remember going there and seeing it, and then I remember bringing my children there a little bit more than I really remember when I was 12.
Right. You know? I think you'd remember it now more when you were 12 because of it, how it's been enhanced. You saw the opening too, Al?
I was there. I was 8 years old.
Oh, Al.
My mother was a museum goer from the beginning, and she would bring me to the museum two or three times a month. It was kind of her favorite sport. So, yes, being at the museum in its opening in January of 1965, I just remember seeing things that were so familiar and feeling the streets under my feet. I mean, that was the alley where we played as a child on 24th Street here in Milwaukee. Mm. So it was just one of those things that just reinforced me being a Milwaukeean.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it did. Yeah. Have you seen the
bus to the museum?
You took the bus. Have you seen the new, reimagined
museum? No, but no. I will be down in Milwaukee in January, and
okay.
I will definitely go there. And then the other... One other highlight we always had to do is hit the rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm. That button is still
remember,
there.
Do you remember the
button
rattlesnake?
Is still there.
Yeah. We actually took that as a guide, too, that we wanted to hide other Easter eggs throughout the streets of Old Milwaukee. So we have other little things to discover, like the snake button hidden in the streets of Old Milwaukee. So look carefully.
Yeah, you've got some other things, too, that you'd rather weren't on the streets, but there they are. They're not real, though. They're not real. We won't say what they are.
Well, they're fun and they're part of the reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of any American city.
Right, absolutely. When you were a kid, what museums caught your fancy, Julian? You were in Chicago. Mine was the Planetarium, actually, when I was a kid.
I grew up in Chicago, and we did come north to a number of different Milwaukee museums and the zoo here, but Chicago also has some great museums. Field Museum was always very popular with me. Museum of Science and Industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have a lot of friends down at those locations still, and good immersive environments as well. But the Field Museum really borrowed from us. They borrowed Carl Akeley. They've borrowed a number of different techniques, and so the Milwaukee Public Museum has always been an innovative, and I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, good. All right, let's. Cheryl, thanks for your call. Bill in Milwaukee. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
All right, Bill, how are you?
I am so looking forward to this. I went there as a child. I took my son there many, many times. I've now taken my grandson, and I'm trying to coordinate to take both of them to the new exhibit with me.
That's great.
So my question is kind of a odd one, maybe. How did you decide which kind of within Streets of Old Milwaukee, how did you make the decision of which exhibits to kind of stress? You know, why do this rather than a blacksmith or, if you understand my question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, way back when, the curators decided that they were going to focus on Milwaukee business and neighborhoods. And we do stay with that theme because Milwaukee business is just so important. It's such an integral part of our life. But what we did with the new Streets of Old Milwaukee, the renovation, the reimagining, is that we've added a few different things, a little bit more industry to kind of give the idea that, you know, let people have the idea back that Milwaukee was an industrial giant. Falk Corporation, Harnish Vegers represented inside of the streets, the whole streetcar notion. I mean, so many of our industries in the Menominee River Valley were closely tied to the rail industry and the streetcar industry. So those kinds of things that were just kind of seminal industries and or businesses for Milwaukee. the printing industry was very big in Milwaukee, so we have a print shop. We have the Schlemmer Automobile, which was a fantasy piece that these two fellas put together and just decided we're going to try and really make something go out of a gasoline engine. But it really gives you the idea that Milwaukee was going to become a modern city, that people were thinking in that direction of self-propelled transportation. Mm. So these are the kind of things that we look for, things that were seminal to the growth of the city, the growth of the American nation, and particular little things about Milwaukee. You know, we have Usinger's sausage, which is, we were just so full of so many German-American businesses, especially related to food and candy and things like that. Everybody had a butcher, a baker, and a candlestick maker on their block.
Yeah. In addition to that, we've had several businesses step up to help us both find artifacts and support the exhibit. The Rex Nord Foundation is our lead sponsor on the reimagining. And as most of you probably know, Rex Nord, the Falk company became part of Rex Nord recently. And so they were these various sponsors that we have were able to provide artifacts, expertise, history, and work with us in many of the cases.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. One of the things that really struck me was when we were working with some of our donors, Badger Meter here in Milwaukee, is just a wonderful supporter of the museum. But they were able to find us from the opening year of their business a 1905 water meter.
I saw it.
Now, what do you do with a water meter? Well, we were in a meeting, and my first inclination was, Granny gets water. The whole idea that, I mean, people lived out of cisterns and backyard well pumps and things like that. And that one of the big things that was really, really important in Milwaukee from the 1880s all the way to this very day is fresh, clean water. And that really started to happen in Milwaukee after 1886 and into the early 1900s. The city started laying a lot of water pipe. Well, how do you manage the water, and how do you get people to pay for it? Well, the meters were important and for the city as well as for the company. So it's this wonderful little piece of history that we were able to work with this major supporter, but also really tie it to a really interesting piece of Milwaukee history, the idea of clean water. And that's something that I'm going to explore in one of our further themes.
Public health, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very important piece. The Milwaukee Police Box, is that what you call it? The last one in Milwaukee?
Sentry Box.
Sentry Box.
Yes. The Sentry Box actually is a development that happened in London way in the 1840s and 1850s. But what's really interesting about ours is that it really has it has this wonderful replica of the Chicago Police Telegraph System, which is what we adopted here for police communication. And the Sentry Boxes then became the stations for these, basically became call boxes. Eventually, Milwaukee got away from the wooden call boxes. They really, in about 1898, 1900, they developed the metal call box that we see on all the corners. Mm-hmm. Any of us that grew up here in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, those big metal blue boxes on every street corner, those came out of these sentry boxes. So the idea that the police officer had a station in the neighborhood, could communicate with his superiors and get information and or help. That's still with us today. The issues that of Milwaukee police deal with communication and neighborhood policing.
Right. Let's go next to you. Thanks, Bill, for your call and enjoy your visit. Pat in Nisida. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Well, I'm so excited about this program. I was born in 39. I grew up in West Allis, Wisconsin, and all my children and grandchildren do live in Milwaukee, which I'll be there in the holidays, and I really hope to see this exhibit. I seen the older one. It was very nice. But the thing that really got me excited is when you mentioned the streetcars. I can remember as a young girl, and I probably remember a lot in the late 40s, 50s, and getting on the streetcar by Alice Chalmers. Now, that was the beginning of a route that went all the way over by the brewery, I think, the valley. It was very scary. It was very deep. You went over, and then you went downtown. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be in the exhibit?
You're talking about the old number 10 route that went from downtown out to West Allis.
Of course.
It's not represented particularly as the number 10 route, but if you look at our streetcar, at the very top it says Wells Street, and that is the number that it would have been the number 10 route car. Now, the thing about our car, and I want to make this little bit of a disclaimer, many people have already talked to me about the idea that, well, it's a different color than the Milwaukee street cars. It doesn't have the right name on it. It doesn't have all the rivets and things. What we like people to know is that we're using the streetcar as a way to get people in the mood, into the idea of the streets of old Milwaukee. It's a device to help you ease into 1900. Mm. We would have loved to have had a real streetcar, but the practicality of it is a real one from the period would have been anywhere from 35 to about 66 feet long. It would have just been impossible to accommodate inside of our structure. So what we did was we created with Julian and some of our artists and the help of some wonderful, wonderful craftspeople to build this replica car that really gives you the feel, but it also allows you to take this trip, and that's the time machine idea.
Yeah, that's just fine. We also haven't talked about, I don't know if you call them murals, Julian, but there's Twilight that's lit, and they're really beautiful paintings now, too.
Yeah, one of the great things about being a designer at the Milwaukee Public Museum is the number of very talented artists we have. And so one of the things we wanted to do, there were a couple blank walls where the streets just ended. And it felt awkward, felt like just that wasn't the way that it was supposed to be. And so using some diorama tricks, using some special lighting, and especially using the mural painting skills of one of our artists, Art Shea, we created these Trompe de l'Oeil illusions of the street continuing down. So one of the mural settings that we created has the sentry box in the front and Granny's fence sort of running into it, but then the painting sort of continues that street scene backwards through a number of different shops and into the distance with a projected moon up above, which kind of gives that early evening feel. And the other mural that we have uses a fence and a fountain, which are physical objects, but then the path goes off into a very typical Milwaukee park with someone rowing out on the river and fiber optic stars up above that our planetarium director made sure were accurate.
Oh, that's great.
I was, of course, amenable to the idea of those stars being accurate.
It's a very nice touch, very nice touch.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, aren't they? I like them, too. What about all of the objects? I mean, there are so... Where do you find all of that, Al?
Well, the streets of old Milwaukee is populated probably 98% by objects given to the museum by people from Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin. The vast majority of the history department's holdings are materials that are donated by the people of this locality. That's how much the museum and how much the streets of old Milwaukee mean to people, that they're willing to give up their personal history so that everybody can enjoy it.
Yeah. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. We'd love to have you join the conversation. Paul writes this email on this topic that we were just on. In the early 70s, we lived in Tosta next to a retired dentist, Dr. Q. Hume and his wife. They had collected display cases and boxes of general store goods over many years and had set a corner store in their basement. They had the foresight to collect large quantities of old items so they could replicate a complete store. When the new museum was built, they donated the collection, and that was the genesis, I didn't know this story, of the general store, which is you could spend hours just looking at the objects in that general store. They were a wonderful example of worthwhile and meaningful philanthropy for the community.
Absolutely.
Indeed they were.
And Al can tell you a little bit about some of the objects in there, but the premise, the design directive that we gave everybody was anything which makes you get closer to that time, which makes you feel like you're there more, that's what we want to do with this space. And so working carefully, again, you know, around these precious objects that had been donated, we created a glass box inside the store. So instead of looking through the windows, you can now walk into that general store, get right up close to the counter and a number of the different objects and feel like you're inside the store now. So that sense of presence is enhanced.
Oh, exactly. This, the Cume General Store is probably one of the star pieces of these streets of old Milwaukee. There's over 3,700 objects in there. And we had to clear a few out to make room for the big glass box. But to tell you the truth, it was well worth it, because being able to get inside of that unit is really nice. And you're able to get up close to the materials and see the detail.
Yes.
And see the quantity of material. In the old unit, you press your nose up against a four-pane glass window, and that's as close as you got. And you kind of hoped you could see what was in the back. Now that you're 8 feet closer, you can see very clearly almost mm-hmm. all of the walls. But the fun part for me was working with a couple of other families in the area as well. Johnson Cookie Company, Robert A. Johnston Company, has been part of Milwaukee since the 1840s, and I worked with the family to acquire some materials from around 1900, 1905, some biscuit and cookie packaging, and I added those to the general store area so that people can really see these objects that are really part of Milwaukee and Milwaukee's food industry.
Yeah. The only problem is you stand in front of it and you just say, as Scotty was saying, and I agreed with him, I really want to go to a store like this. I wish there were stores like this.
Oh, you get out in the back country of Wisconsin, there are still a few general stores around.
As good as that one, Al?
Not as historically interesting, but certainly when it comes to the bits and pieces, there are a few up north that I know that have some just amazing material.
Really?
From snowmobile parts all the way to candy bars.
Oh, good. Let me know about those. Mm-hmm. That would be fun. Isn't that, I just love the way that's designed. And it makes such a difference to be that much closer, doesn't it, Julian, to the objects?
Absolutely. We wanted people to be able to get close to the objects and put their hands on and try out some replicas. We got the old water pump working again. We got the bicycle. We have a replica of a high wheel bicycle in there, so
that's popular.
You can physically interact.
Even
with that.
We were on that.
And in the general store itself, we want to make sure that people pick up that phone and try it out, because there you can overhear some interesting conversations.
Oh, that was fun.
There.
Yes, I wrote four scripts for a party line.
I remember party lines.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The early telephones,
yes.
I mean, unless you were very, very well-to-do, you wound up on a party line.
Right.
So I wrote four separate scripts. And so what the general store owner will do is basically in the overhead scripting tell you to go ahead and pick up the phone, but you know you will be eavesdropping, so be quiet. And you get
that
to hear
one of the fun things about them.
Oh yes, and you'll get to hear four different conversations, and it's just a fun
nice.
Little thing.
So just tell me before we go back to phone calls, you've got all these ideas. You're sitting down and you're thinking about what are we going to do with this space, and people are going to disagree with each other, or they're going to have an idea that was better or worse than the other idea. How do you synthesize all of that and say and make a decision and say, this is that's what we have to do, let's go that direction?
Well, I was the project lead on this, but it's very important to emphasize that we worked with a group that were entirely dedicated to this. They
sure.
were all bringing
mm-hmm.
ideas, and we couldn't have done it without the talented team that we had internally. And sometimes we would argue over things. I mean, I would be trying to push something from sort of an experiential point of view, and Al would be saying, well, you know, that's not historically accurate. And often in those conversations, we would find the way to make the best experience for the end person. So it really was a collaboration between a lot of different people, not just Al and I, but some of our vendors, all of our
sure.
artists.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole staff poured their whole being into this, which, you know, and we couldn't have done it in 9 months if we hadn't had that
right.
kind of dedication.
Yeah, that's not a long period of time to put all this together, is it?
No, not at all. It was quite the rush. But getting back to the earlier, just the point Julian was making, one of the big things that we really had to decide was that whatever went into the streets of Old Milwaukee and whatever vignettes we put together, it had to reside inside of the collections. So we had to have collection material to support it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go making things out of whole cloth.
Mm-hmm.
We had the objects there that told the story, and that's one of the big, big, big issues. But also then getting back to the idea of we did this in 9 months, it's a 3-year project we mm-hmm. did in 9 months. not terribly unlike what the guys did back in the 1960s. The designer at the time had 22 days to make his design and pull his budget together, and then they had 14 months to build the streets of Old Milwaukee. So there's this tradition of making it go.
I'm hoping to break that particular tradition.
That's a lot of pressure. We're going to welcome more phone calls. We're talking about the streets of Old Milwaukee. Last week, they were open again to the public after being closed for not very long to be reimagined. And they're just so enhanced. Your experience is so enhanced. We have two guests with us who really helped in large measure make this happen. Al Muchka is curator of history collections at the Milwaukee Art Museum, and Julian Jackson is director of exhibits and design. And we're welcoming phone calls. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to phone calls. We go to Dick in Oak Creek next. Hi, Dick.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
My question is, we don't have a smartphone, so if we go to the museum, how can we access the stuff that's only, that you're talking about here?
Julie.
So what we like to tell everybody that the app, while we talk about it a fair bit, is the rosette on the frosting on the cake. There is so many other layers that you can encounter within the streets. We're still trying to evaluate how much demand there is for these sort of deeper stories. We have some other ideas of other ways that you can navigate these stories. We're trying to minimize the amount of technology that sort of is in your face with these components. And if there really continues to be demand for diving into these stories through other methods, we'll probably go with some paper-based modes of doing that. Currently, we're just working with the apps, observing people go through, seeing if people like yourself are interested in navigating them in other manner, and we're going to listen to the visitors.
How many people have smartphones? Do you know, Julian? Is it a good chunk of the museum-going audience?
It is a very high percentage.
Is it?
And we do, you know, we try to keep abreast of this kind of information as we go forward. I don't want to quote something just off the top of my head here, but I know that it's significantly above 75% of the populace now has phones that are capable of doing this and growing all the time.
Yeah, well, Dick, you just need to find a buddy and say, come on, let's go to the museum, and I'll buy you a cup of coffee, let me use your smartphone, and then, you know, then that person can use his smartphone or her smartphone, and there you go. What do you think? Dick is gone. Well, I hope it was a good idea, Dick. Scott is next in Racine. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Great. I love your show. I was just calling because when I was a kid, I remember one of my favorite parts about the streets of Old Milwaukee was the movie theater, and it always had silent movies playing. But I know it hasn't been that way, at least for the past, since my kids have been little, and I've tried to take them to see the streets of Old Milwaukee.
Well, that's one of the other changes that we made. We've now opened up the Nickelodeon for all visitors
all the time.
And again, something that was helped by very, very subtle technology. You know, now we can have a security camera that's hidden in there so that, you know, it's a safe place for folks. But all the systems are also automated so they don't have to have somebody in there running them all the time. But again, all hidden to make that experience of walking in, hearing the tinkling piano playing behind those silent movies. So we wanted to make it so, you know, when you visit, you can always find the Nickelodeon open.
I'm so glad you did that. It's really a nice thing to have that open all the time.
That's something that everyone has been clamoring for many, many years. The Nickelodeon, or the Pastime Theater, has always been a very popular part of the streets of Old Milwaukee, but you know, as Julian mentioned, you know, having somebody on staff or having a volunteer, it wasn't always possible to have the doors open and run the films, especially when we were running real film and there was a projection booth up behind.
I remember that.
Getting
yes.
somebody that still remembered that technology. The new technologies, though, with the that are out there, the digital technology is so much nicer, and it's easier to just keep continuous material out there for people.
Thanks very much for the call. Stephen in Milwaukee. Hi.
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 So, I was wondering about the streets, on the streets of Old Milwaukee itself. I can see in the pictures.
Stephen, your phone is lousy. Can you get a little closer?
Yeah.
There we go. All right.
Okay. I can see in the pictures that a lot of the streets of Old Milwaukee are paved with brick, And I work for the city of Milwaukee. I happen to know that at the turn of the century, a lot of the streets in the city were still wood. And I was wondering if they incorporated any of that into the new version.
Actually, there is a cedar block wood street down near the general store. If you look down, that is all cedar blocks, but they're placed end grain up, so they look like bricks. So if you look at them very closely, you'll see that they are that it is wood. And then there is the cobble, granite cobbles, and then there is the paving brick that was used. A lot of the early wood planked roads, those were pretty much gone by the 1880s, with the exception of a lot of outlying areas, although they did use a lot of wood planked sidewalk in Milwaukee. And so those are predominant, and those are also well displayed in the streets of old Milwaukee. But there is a variance of street surfacing that can be experienced.
Mm-hmm. Lori writes on Facebook, I'm wondering if you told some of the stories of Milwaukee entrepreneurs, the story of old Evan Rude causing an explosion in the basement of his landlady's house while developing the first outboard motor.
We can work with that kind of material. Again, it has to be something that's based in our collection. Right now, we don't have Evan Rude material in the collection.
Oh.
So that would be the difficult part for us. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing that could be worked into programmatic material, and we will be working with our museum educators to put together more programmatic material that's not quite so attached to the collection. But when you are talking about display, if we don't have collection material, it's difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm. So what ideas, where are you going with that? Programmatic, you mean you'll have people will talk about Milwaukee's industry in 1915, or what?
Well, we already do some of those things. Uh-huh. We have the Streets Alive event every year, in which many of our docents, who are trained speakers on Milwaukee topics, they will give particular programs and take you on a walking tour of the streets of old Milwaukee. As well, myself and my volunteers from the history department, we have what we call table talks, and we'll bring materials off from the collection that tell stories about various businesses or people or the making of things. Our educators will also then be working on very specific topics of the growth of, say, the African American community, which is not so collections based, but more intellectual and more of a social growth.
Yeah.
So we are going to be working on and touching on various aspects of greater depth in Milwaukee history.
Mm-hmm. The sounds, and also we haven't talked about the scents too. There's an area that smells like yeast, which you brought us over to yesterday, Julian, and oh my gosh, it's just, how do you do that? It's amazing.
Well, again, scent is a very strong memory evoker, and we want to create even more memories within the streets, so we're hoping that's going to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted, you know, that was, again, one of the design directives. Use all the senses wherever possible.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a more subtle smell of wood over near the lumber yard. There is
the
smell of yeast over near the baker area. And again, we were layering in the sensory input wherever we could to create that deeper sense of immersion and to trigger memories, hopefully, in the future.
Mm-hmm. There's even a madam, which I guess you wouldn't know about unless you're having a tour, but there is a madam, which there may have been in the actual streets
of
old Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee had its share of interesting places.
Uh-huh.
Actually, in 1889, there was a book published called The Sporting Guide to Milwaukee. It was it actually is a guide that takes you from bordello to bordello, saloon to saloon. And it actually describes who the madam was, where their house was located, how many girls she had, and what the specialty of the house was, whether it was wine or liquor, whether there was piano playing and music. But not very particular specialties, but more broad entertainments.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny, Al. I'd love to see that sometime. That's funny.
You're referring to Miss Kitty,
who you can see in
one of the upper windows there. And Miss Kitty is a good example of some shadow play that we've done in the upper windows.
Yes,
the
very
shadow play was a way to populate the streets more deeply. So every once in a while in some of the upper windows, you'll catch the shadows of somebody going past a window. In this case, Miss Kitty checking her hair in the mirror near her apartment.
Yeah, it's very nice. We are out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. You did a splendid job. It was really fun to see a new old Streets of Milwaukee. Very nicely done. Thank you both.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Our thanks to Julian Jackson, who's Director of Exhibits and Design at the Milwaukee Public Museum. And Al Muchka is the Curator of History Collections for the Milwaukee Public Museum. The streets of Old Milwaukee have been reimagined, and they're great, great fun. So it's open now, and you're invited to go. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the hour, to Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee, John Meacham on the life of George Herbert Walker Bush, coming up hour two of our program following the news from National Public Radio.